So I'll just read the verse 1 and its translation. Since it doesn't have a purport, so we after that we'll together recite verse 2 and then discuss something on the purport. Text 1.
Shri Shuku Vacha Vitehate Trayo Loka Vinashakrena Bhurida Sapala Yabhavan Satyo Vishvara Nir Vitendriya.
Shri Shukadeva Goswami said, O King Parikshit, who are so charitably disposed, when Dhritarashtra was killed, all the presiding deities and everyone else in the three planetary systems was immediately pleased and free from trouble. Everyone, that is, except Indra. Text 2. Please just write after me.
Devarshi Pitri Bhutani Daitya Devanuga Swayam Prati Jagmu Swadhishyani. Brahmeshendriyadayastatah Deva,
demigods,
Rishi,
great saintly persons,
Pitri,
the inhabitants of Pitraloka,
Bhutani,
and the other living entities,
Daityah,
demons,
Deva Anugaha,
the inhabitants of other planets,
following the principles of the demigods,
Swayam,
independently,
without asking permission from Indra,
Pratijagmuhu,
returned,
Swadhishyani,
to their respective planets and homes.
Brahma,
Lord Brahma,
Isha,
Lord Shiva,
Indra Adayaha,
and the demigods headed by Indra.
Tataha,
thereafter.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Abhay Sharanarvind, Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Chai.
Translation. Therefore, the demigods, the great saintly persons, the inhabitants of Pitraloka and Bhutaloka, the demons, the followers of the demigods, and also Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and the demigods subordinate to Indra, all returned to their respective homes. While departing, however, no one spoke to Indra. Purport. In this connection, Srila Vaishvanatha Chakravarti Thakur comments. Prabhupada writes a long prose from the commentary of Vaishvanatha Chakravarti Thakur.
Brahmeshendradaya iti indras indrasya swadhishnya gamanam nopupadyate vrata vadhakshana eva brahma hatyopadrava praptehe tasmatata iti annena manas sarovarat agatya pravartitat ashvamedhat parat iti vyakheyam.
Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and the other demigods returned to their respective abodes, but Indra did not, for he was disturbed at having killed Dhritarasura, who was actually a Brahmana. After killing Dhritarasura, Indra went to the Manasa Sarovar lake to become free from sinful reactions. When he left the lake, he performed an Ashwamedh Yajna and then returned to his own abode. Om Jnanath Midandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadam Hiyam Dadati Svapadantikam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gauratvishe Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namaste Tat Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishvanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Mukham karoti vachalam pangum langhayate girim yat vipatam aham vande shri guru dinatarinam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So today morning we are discussing on this very beautiful aspect of a Vaishnava's heart. In the past couple of chapters in this canto, the whole Vritrasura episode has happened, and finally, as per the desire of the Supreme Lord, the sages, the brahmanas, including Vritrasura, the plan was made to kill him, since although being a pure devotee, he was in the body of a demon, playing the role of a demon, and thus creating a lot of disturbance for the demigods and the sages. Towards the end of the last chapter, it's mentioned how eventually Vritrasura swallowed Indra, and having swallowed like that, he assumed now Indra is killed, and at that time he felt, now it's time for me to leave this planet, and he went into samadhi with his absorption in Krishna, being a pure devotee of Krishna, and he, or the soul, left from the body of Vritrasura, from the demoniac body. It was after that Indra, who within the body of Vritrasura, who was not yet dead, he thought, now is the time for me to kill this demon, not having known that the soul had already left from the body of Vritrasura. And he thought, let me kill this demon. Jai Shri Shri Kaurnitai, Shri Shri Krishna Balram, Shri Shri Adha, Shyam Sundar Lalita, Vishakha Devi, Ki Jai. So in one sense, Indra had not actually killed Vritrasura. Vritrasura on his own went into Samadhi and left his body. And it is mentioned clearly that everyone witnessed the soul from the body entering into the Vaikuntha Lokas at the lotus feet of Lord Sankarsana. And after that, Indra, he had to really struggle to so-called kill in Vritrasura. It's mentioned it took him 360 days for Indra to cut the neck of Vritrasura because of the way he left his body, Vritrasura. The body had become very stiff. And although he had a special weapon achieved from the bones of Dadiji Muni, but still it took him a long time to render that service that he was awarded by the demigods, the sages, including the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to kill Vritrasura. Now after that episode has ended, now here we see Indra is, everyone is happy, the demon is finally killed, all the atrocities that he was causing is over, except this one person. This is very similar to the end of the battle of Kurukshetra, where everyone is happy in one sense that finally the Pandavas have become the kings, but there was one person unhappy. Who was he? Yudhishthir Maharaj. He was feeling that guilt within his heart. Just for getting this kingdom, I have caused such a big massacre. 64 crore people dead in 18 days just to fulfill my desire to be a king. And here we see Indra. He knew Vritrasura is not just a demon. Although in the body of a demon, as Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport, he was very clear that this demon, or so-called demon, is none other than a pure Brahmana or a pure Vaishnava. But just because it was his service, initially he actually denied, Indra denied that, "I don't want to do this service because I'll get heavy sinful reactions." And he explained to the sages that already I have an experience of killing Vishwarupa, who was again a Brahmana, and then I got so much sinful reactions thanks to those four personalities, women, trees, land and water, who took the share of my sinful reactions, because of which I was saved. Now again I don't want to get into this problem of killing a Brahmana. And he refused, but the sages convinced him, "Don't worry, go ahead doing this service. We'll help you perform the Ashwamedh Yajna, by which not just the sinful reaction of killing one Brahmana, but even if you kill all the Brahmanas in the whole universe, the sinful reactions that will come from that can be nullified simply by the performance of the Ashwamedh Yajna. So we'll do that, but now you render this service." So this all had already happened before. And somehow Indra agreed to render this service. But after doing this service, he's feeling this guilt. He's feeling this kind of a pain in his heart that I killed a Brahmana who's so dear to the Lord. Now here there's something to, a beautiful principle to appreciate. Indra could have said, or could have considered, that see, this was a service given to me by the sages, and anyways they are taking care of the sinful reaction that will come thereafter. What's there to worry about? Let me also be happy like the demigods and go back to my abode. But this is the heart of a devotee, that especially when he is expected to render a risky kind of a service which is apparently wrong. To kill a Brahmana is wrong. But even if the Supreme Personality of Godhead comes and tells us to do a service, if we are not in the attitude to serve the Lord, to please the Lord, although the service is being done under instruction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but it is not intended to please the Lord, it will get sinful reactions. Well, the attitude went wrong. So Vaishnava never feels that I did this service with the right attitude. I must have been wrong somewhere in my attitude, due to which sinful reaction will come over me. Just like Parikshit Maharaj, when he was cursed by Sringi, he never tried to justify the act that he did for which he was cursed. But that's the nature of the heart of a Vaishnava. They never think that now I have done the service. Yes, I did it. And they never judge an activity by its results. Here we see what is the result. It's success. Demigods are all happy. The demon is dead. So it's victory. That's not how a Vaishnava sees an activity. Very beautiful. He goes deep into his own heart. There must be some flaw in my consciousness, especially in services which are very risky like this. Any leader, whether a father, a mother, a spiritual master, a king, they have to render services which involve doing things which are apparently not right. For example, a very common day-to-day example, let's say in front of a husband, a wife commits a mistake and now it's the duty of the husband, since wife is a dependent of the husband, he is supposed to correct her. But at that time, his son is also present there. So there's a duty that in front of the son, the father is not supposed to correct the wife. At the same time, the wife has committed a mistake, where she deserves correction. So in this situation, what to do? Such that the Supreme Personality of Godhead will be pleased. So there are a lot of conflicting situations that come in our life, as we are living life practically every day. If we are really duty conscious, duty towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead, not duty towards the jana, the people. Actually, that for a devotee, he has only one primary duty, to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead in all situations. Now, in that given situation, what to do such that the Lord will be pleased is a gamble till the time we are such a pure devotee that we have direct communication with the Supreme Lord. We can just, based on whatever we have heard, we have studied, and if we are fortunate, we have some consultation of pure brahmanas and devotee friends, we can consult as to what's the right thing in this situation, such that Krishna will be pleased. Even if the right thing is known, it has to be done with the right attitude. It's not enough just to do the right thing, because Indra did the right thing, but he is questioning his own consciousness. And being a Vaishnava, he feels there must be some flaw in my consciousness. Just like imagine a situation of Ambarish Maharaj's pastime. Let's say there was I'm just now twisting this pastime just to help us understand the principle. Let's say there was a plan of the Lord along with Durvasa Muni. Let us test, when we put a devotee in difficulty, what is his response? How does he respond to a difficult situation? So let us together create a difficult situation for Amrish, and we'll test his behavior. And the Lord would have had a plan with Durvasa Muni. The pastime is not like this. I'm just giving a hypothetical situation. And Durvasa Muni, yes, he was inspired to perform that service as per the Lord's desire. And the same episode would have taken place, where he took off his hair and he created this fiery demon, not to kill now in this case, to just test how does Ambarish Maharaj respond to it. But let's say, before this episode happened, there was already some kind of a hard feeling in the heart of Durvasa Muni towards Ambarish Maharaj. There was something that had happened in the past due to which he was already in a spirit to take some kind of a revenge. Now in this situation, although it is a service given by the Supreme Lord to test Durvasa Muni, but he may have rendered that service with the mood that now I have got this opportunity to let me, in the name of testing, let me do such a thing that finally he gets some trouble, some difficulty for the difficulty he gave me in that situation in the past. So the consciousness can be not really in the mood to serve the Supreme Lord. It can be to fulfill one's own desire or take a revenge for the hurt that one is feeling in one's heart towards that personality. So many times, even in the services that we clearly know are right, there's always an opportunity that we can commit mistakes at the level of consciousness, and reactions will accordingly come. So this is how pure devotees of the Lord, they think. Here Indra is a great devotee. We can give a benefit of doubt here. Why is he feeling bad? Because after these two verses, as soon as Parikshit Maharaj, he heard these two verses from Shukadeva Goswami, the next question he asks, which you will hear tomorrow, Maharaj Parikshit inquired from Shukadeva Goswami, "O great sage, what was the reason for Indra's unhappiness? I wish to hear about this. When he killed Vritrasura, all demigods were extremely happy. Why then was Indra himself unhappy?" So Parikshit Maharaj was hearing with attention, and he was immediately surprised that, hey, it was a perfect act done. Demigods are happy, the Supreme Lord must be happy, the demon is dead. Why on earth is Indra unhappy? There was no reason for Indra to be unhappy. And the Shukadeva Goswami explains further ahead. But this is a contemplation how genuine, sincere Vaishnavas, they always test themselves on the platform of truth. They always, the spirit of pariprashnena or self-questioning is internally on. Like sometimes after the class, people say, "Prabhu, what a beautiful class, it was such a beautiful principle you conveyed." If I judge my presentation based on people's response, it's a very big mistake I'll be doing. We can at the most take some clues from how circumstances are responding to my service. But there has to be an individual evaluation of a service being rendered. Was it really rendered in a mood to please Krishna? Now, whether Krishna is pleased or not, at a particular level of advancement, one may not be able to clearly know sometimes. But that's not also as important as much as was it intended to please Krishna or not. Just like Mother Yashoda, when she was feeding milk to Krishna before the Damodar Leela took place, and she saw the milk getting boiled on the stove, so she left Krishna. Her intention was to go and use that milk, or prevent it from boiling down, and use that milk eventually to cook sweets for Krishna. So she did that as intending to please Krishna, but eventually Krishna was displeased. So it's possible that even with our best of intentions to please Krishna, eventually Krishna may not be pleased. But still it is pure devotional service, because it was intended towards pleasing Krishna. So for a devotee, more than Krishna being pleased or not, is it being done to please Krishna or not? Was it a conscious effort to please Krishna or not? And this is a constant kind of a quest in the heart of a Vaishnava. externally we may have spoken something harsh, like this example we were giving of a husband who has to correct his wife in a given situation. And let's say sometimes he may have spoken something to his wife due to which she felt bad, but he rightly intended it to render it as a service to her in that given situation, then even if she felt bad, it was a perfect act done. Of course, since she was displeased and she expresses her displeasure to the husband still questions as a Vaishnava, then maybe I could have spoken it in a better way. A devotee never feels that what he has done is perfect. He is always questioning himself over the principle of truth. Truth means what pleases Krishna. That is truth. So he is questioning himself always. Even externally everything went right. Did I really please Krishna? Did I really intend to please Krishna? Or I forgot Krishna, this act somehow happened and somehow everyone is happy with the external act. This is how Vaishnava goes on internally struggling. Externally, one may be very peaceful, satisfied, like a duck swimming on a river, in a pond. She is moving very, very smoothly from the top, but her legs are very frantically moving. So the devotee is internally always struggling to question oneself. And that is the kind of a feeling Indra must be going through in his heart of hearts. Did I really do the service with the right intention? Did I really intend to please Krishna? Or was I just busy killing this demon so that the demon is dead, the demigods are happy, and service is finished? We are generally, especially when we chant Hare Krishna, it is done generally to finish it. Somehow let me finish my japa. And when it is finished, how relaxed sometimes we feel. We don't feel as happy getting an opportunity to chant Hare Krishna as much as when chanting finishes. Finally, over, the quota for today is over, whatever I have promised to my spiritual master. One devotee was explaining, somehow after 16 rounds, the beads become too heavy. It is so difficult to chant more. Of course, Krishna is very generous, very kind-hearted. Even if these are our moods in our chanting, Krishna sees, at least he is chanting. And whatever may be his heart. But from a Vaishnava's side, he is always questioning. He is always wanting to further improve his attitude in his services. Even if the best of service externally was performed, even if he chanted hearing every mantra, which is very rare, still he is not satisfied that, oh, so today I have chanted very attentively, Krishna will be very happy. I think maybe I... It's not a pessimistic approach. Please don't misunderstand. Vaishnava is very pessimistic. He's always thinking, I have done something wrong. This is a natural response based on one's realization that one feels, I could have done better. Because there's even the spiritual world, one doesn't feel that, okay, now I've reached here, so now this was the goal and finally I've come here, so now I can just do what I feel like to serve Krishna. One is still questioning. This is a self-improvement mood of a Vaishnava. It's not necessary every Vaishnava has to be always like this to be a Vaishnava. But this is how, at our level of practice, when we are as sadhakas, when we feel we have not yet achieved perfection in our service, in our consciousness. Like in the Chaitanya Leela, you can pick up any pastime where, like we say, Shivanand Sen, when he was taking all the Vaishnavas from towards Puri, one of the times it happened that a dog happened to come in that group of devotees, and somehow Shivanand Sen was very eager to take that dog along with him. Everywhere, wherever he was going towards Puri, he took the dog. Now, this is not something that generally Vaishnavas would want to do, because As Srila Prabhupada says, dogs are not considered very pure animals, and they are in one place Prabhupada says dogs are offenders because they pass urine on Tulsi Maharani. So they are offenders towards a pure devotee. So generally it's not a Vaishnava response that they are very affectionate. In their heart of hearts they see their soul as part and parcel of Krishna, so they don't see it negatively, but still because it's the body of a dog, they won't really go out of the way and generally be affectionate towards the dog in this particular way. But here Shivanand Sen is just being so affectionate towards the dog, taking that dog, even that boat when they had to cross the river, he paid extra money to take that dog to cross over the river. He didn't think that maybe this is proper utilization of the money that Lord has given me. And that kind of self-introspective spirit was not there, at least it's not clearly mentioned like that in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Because devotees at a particular level where they are just absorbed in serving Krishna, so they are naturally intending to please Krishna at all times, and thus in that level of consciousness, whatever a Vaishnava may do, it's perfect because Krishna sees that it is done with the intention to just serve Him and please Him. So there this kind of a self-questioning spirit may not be there, and that's also perfect. But here in this case, when we see externally everything was right, now there was no need for Indra to feel bad like this. As even in the case of Yudhishthira Maharaj, he was feeling so bad, so guilty for having killed him. Even the Supreme Personality of Godhead was explaining to Yudhishthira Maharaj that you are not the cause of the battle. I wanted the battle to take place. I wanted Dharma to be established. I wanted all of you to be the king. Still, somehow, Krishna himself was arranging Yudhishthira Maharaj not to be satisfied. And he was continuing to have that guilt in his heart. It was for a different reason in this case. Lord had a plan to glorify His another pure devotee, Bhishma Pitamah, who had been rendering such selfless service on the side of the Kauravas. For all the service that he had rendered, the Lord wanted to eventually just glorify him immensely. And thus he put Yudhishthira Maharaj in that predicament where he was not even pacified by the Lord himself. And when Bhishma Pitamah spoke to Yudhishthira Maharaj, one devotee asked, is there a specific verse in Bhishma Pitamah's instructions to Yudhishthira Maharaj where what he spoke pacified Yudhishthira Maharaj? Actually, there is no such verse that we can pinpoint, that this verse Bhishma spoke due to which Yudhishthira Maharaj was pacified. So this was a question asked to one devotee. What is it that eventually Yudhishthira Maharaj, Bhishma Pitamah spoke? And the beautiful answer was given that actually Bhishma had such affection towards the Pandavas. And when he spoke this verse, Aho kashtam aho nyayam yadyuyam dharma nandanah jivitum narhata klishtam vipta dharma achutashraya. This was the first verse Bhishma began speaking when the Pandavas were assembled there. And Yudhishthira was in that disturbed state of consciousness. Now to address a disturbed person's heart and to pacify the heart is not a human act. Is not humanly possible. But with such affection Bhishma spoke, feeling such pain for what the Pandavas had to go through for being such pure devotees. What was their fault? They were just acted purely to intend to please Krishna and see what they had to go through. Oh, anyayam. This is a Mahajan speaking against Krishna's arrangements. Krishna, you have done an anyaya over these pure, kind-hearted, gentle Vaishnavas. No, this was not, I mean, this is how it was spoken, but that how what was spoken pacified the heart of Yudhishthira Maharaj. And here is someone who genuinely loves us, who really cares for us. And I'm so happy seeing this love of Yudhishthira Maharaj, of Bhishma Pitamah for me. And somehow all the philosophy now made sense to him. Same things Krishna was speaking some time back to Yudhishthira Maharaj. But somehow he didn't feel that, of course, this was Krishna's arrangement, not that Krishna doesn't have love for Yudhishthira Maharaj. So it's how the speech is spoken has a very deep impact. Of course, words also do have importance. Not that words don't have importance, but words themselves are not enough, especially when it comes to speaking to a disturbed person. So here, considering the disturbed heart of Indra, I don't know, I have not gone through this whole pastime of what is it that Shukadeva Goswami actually spoke, why Indra was unhappy. But I just felt that it makes perfect sense to give a benefit of doubt to Indra for the position that he is holding, for the service that the Lord has given Indra, he being the chief of all the demigods. And he must be feeling pain in his heart because of questioning himself over the attitude with which he rendered the service of killing Vritrasura. I mean, he knows externally that soon the yajna will be done, Ashwamedh yajna, and even if I am getting some sinful reactions, it will be nullified. But still he is feeling, but I must have pained the heart of the Lord because I killed this Brahmana. He must be so dear to the Lord. Did I really do the right thing? It's very beautiful. It's very difficult to understand the Vaishnava's heart, therefore. Yeah, Vindra should have been so happy. Finally, the demon is killed. The Lord also must be happy that the service is done. The devotee is unhappy. And in the same situation, let's say, Indra rendered the service, another situation, but another episode, but the same situation, let's say, and Indra is happy that yes, service is done, Vritrasura is killed, the demigods are happy, and because all of them are happy, Krishna must be happy, so I'm very happy. That's also perfect. So we cannot say this is the response a Vaishnava should be having in all situations. We cannot standardize a Vaishnava's response to in a given situation. Because he is moment to moment acting with a spirit to please Krishna. The same Vaishnava in another situation, in the same episode, may think otherwise. And that's also perfect. That can also be perfect when he is happy, the demon is dead. I don't know what I'm saying is making sense to all of you, but I'm just sharing how Vaishnava goes in his internals as he experiences situations going around him. And I was just trying to reflect upon a heart of a Vaishnava who is always in the spirit of self-improvement. Because at our level, I mean, now I'm speaking at my level, that where we are still struggling new fights, we want to become at least a Madhyam Adhikari, where we have some prema for the Lord, some maitri towards the Vaishnavas, where we have to be in a spirit to always wanting to become a better devotee than what I am in my particular level of consciousness. So this attitude of pariprashnena, of self-questioning, is an attitude that will always keep us as a struggling Vaishnava, as a improving or progressive Vaishnava. Because it happens after certain years of practice of Krishna consciousness, when we have basically gone through the basic books of Srila Prabhupada, when we have rendered the various services in our movement, we feel now everything has been done, so now what else is remaining to be done? Now I've done all the kind of different kind of services, and a kind of a plateau situation comes in the life of a Vaishnava. Many devotees have come and expressed to me that we feel that I'm not really making advancement. It is like a status quo situation where I'm just stuck up at a particular level, maybe an earth nivritti level. How to further actually keep on making progress in our bhakti? So after certain years, this devotees tend to go through this phase of a kind of a stuck up situation, or not really perceivably making advancement in bhakti. So I felt this is one of the ways one can be always convinced that I'm still a struggling Vaishnava, because one can constantly struggle to please Krishna internally, even if externally situations are all going right. Devotees around us are very happy with us. Sometimes we feel if the devotees are happy with us, Krishna must be pleased, everything is all right. Never Srila Prabhupada accepted the statement that everything is all right. In fact, Prabhupada said there is no safe place in this material world. It's always a dangerous situation. Any time, one slip of consciousness, we can perform an act which can be greatly displeasing to the Supreme Lord. This is not a pessimistic approach to Krishna consciousness. This is a realistic approach. But it depends on our level of realization. If we feel comfortable with this kind of an approach, internally, always questioning and struggling to improve, well and good. If we feel it's too much, I'll get into depression if I'm always thinking that I'm not happy, I'm not doing my services right. Let me feel something I'm doing right. Let me be. That means we are not yet having this adhikar to be able to do internal questioning of one's attitudes all the time. So let us then continue with at least doing the right things, even if done not with the right attitude always, because that itself is glorious, doing the right thing. So it depends on our level of consciousness, where we want to take the subject matter from. But I just felt of addressing. It's not that I am also at this level where I am questioning myself, but I really aspire, I really love this attitude where a devotee is internally always wanting to refine one's attitude, further fine-tuning one's consciousness and becoming a better quality Vaishnava internally. So this kind of approach really touches my heart, so I just address this topic in this particular way. Anybody has any comments to make here, or anything you would like to share? Yes, Prabhu. And this mic be passed on. Karmanneva adhikar aste ma phaleshu kadajana. It's not I am speaking that you should not judge an activity by its results. Krishna is saying it doesn't matter what the result may be. Our adhikar is to do the right action with the right attitude. So in all situations, this is the heart of a Vaishnava. You give me an example of a situation where the activity should be judged by the results, and that's the right thing to please Krishna.
I don't have any such example. That is why I could never.
So let's stick to what Krishna says. Sometimes some Vaishnava may have, out of slip of a tongue, may have said like that. And see, whenever we see something wrong, to our understanding wrong, first step should be give a benefit of doubt. Don't judge. This is a big flaw we do in our interaction with devotees. We judge immediately what he said is wrong. Give a benefit of doubt. That keeps us in a safe situation. So maybe that Vaishnava must have had something in his mind. He also intends the same thing what we are saying, that an activity shouldn't be judged by his results, because that's what Krishna says. It's the attitude that's more important than the external results. And this pastime itself is showing here. Indra, after having done the right things, everyone is happy, but he is unhappy. And there are so many examples of these situations where the action is not judged by its results. So in that situation, maybe there was some either some slip of a tongue, or the Vaishnava may be having something in his mind where he wanted to convey this same principle but in a roundabout way. But at least as a principle, this is what it is. Yes, I want to hear Shri Krishna Prabhu's comment. See, he is giving substance to your questioning. Please ask the question.
My doubt is because I have heard also that Parina Parichaya
is obviously that a Vaishnava has to be just how many people
Vaishnava has created.
Bhaktivinoda Thakur statement. Srila Prabhupada mentioned this statement, if I stick to your example of a Vaishnava is to be judged by how many Vaishnavas he makes. In the Nectar of Instruction, verse 5, in the purport towards the end, Srila Prabhupada makes this statement. But that is in a context that how to understand an Uttamadhikari. And that one way is not the way to judge an Uttam Adhikari. There are various different ways by which you can understand who is an Uttam Adhikari. If all of them are matching along with this one thing, can one say who is an Uttam Adhikari? But simply by the quantum of devotees one is making, because then sometimes people outside our movement, also there are people who are making so many followers of theirs, 5, 6 lakh people are taking initiation at one go. And if we judge that they are better devotees, because eventually these people are having some affection towards the Lord, they are chanting some names of the Lord, and that's the way to judge a Vaishnava, no. So therefore we can't just pick up a statement from one place and use it as an absolute statement in and of itself. So yes, part of a Uttam Adhikari or a pure Vaishnava's way to understand his heart is by how much transformation he is causing in the hearts of devotees. Because making a devotee means transformation of heart. It's not the external dress he is giving of particular devotee wearing Vaishnava dress, having tilak and kantimala, he is actually causing transformation in the hearts. And Krishna Shakti Vinana hi Tara Pravartana. So the Pravartana is happening because of Krishna Shakti. So we can judge a Vaishnava to some extent by how many hearts is he able to transform. So the emphasis is not on the many part. So please catch the spirit of the statement. The emphasis is on the Vaishnava's transformational ability, which is empowered by Krishna. So he must be such an advanced soul that Krishna Shakti is flowing through him so much that so many devotees are becoming, their hearts are transforming. So this is the spirit behind that statement, what you are talking about, how a Vaishnava can be judged by. That is for judging an Uttam Adhikari. In that connection, Prabhupada mentions that statement. The Phalena Parichayate, yes, the statement is there, that a tree is known by its fruits. Again, see, these things are all to be taken in context in which it is supposed to be applied. Like, the Phalena Parichayate then would not come true in case of Prahlad Maharaj, because generally the statement was one place used by Srila Prabhupada that the parents are so good, so the children are becoming such good devotees because the root was the seed was good, so the fruit is also coming good. But it's not, or Phalena Parichayate Prabhupada also used in case of when he was questioned that how do we know that your Bhagavad Gita is perfect? That is, we say it's coming in parampara, but all people who are writing Bhagavad Gita say that their Bhagavad Gita is right, it's perfect. So Prabhupada said, no, Phalena Parichayate. See, so many devotees, people are becoming devotees by studying this Bhagavad Gita. So this was a particular context in which Prabhupada used. But it is not in context to an action is judged by its results. Because there Krishna says other ways. That actually it's the right attitude with which the act is performed, which will decide whether the act is right or not. Actually, even other ways, right act is a matter of Krishna being pleased, not right act is a matter of everything externally goes right. Otherwise, tatena kampam verse becomes wrong. Tatena kampam, everything is not going right, difficult problems are happening, but a Vaishnava feels, Krishna, this is perfect. What you are doing is perfect to give me what I deserve to purify my heart. So when we follow a pure devotee's guidance, external results may all be externally a flop. But still it is perfect because while performing the action, if we are doing it with the right attitude, it is getting us closer to Krishna, which is what is important. Otherwise this question is asked that why Krishna allowed Abhimanyu to be killed? He was such a great devotee of the Lord. Why Lord allowed him to be killed in such a horrible way, such a controversial way? It was perfect. Whereas Krishna protected whom? Parikshit in the womb of Uttara. There Krishna protected, so Krishna is partial. No. Krishna's actions are always perfect, and externally things may not be right in case of Abhimanyu, but because the end result was Krishna took him back to Godhead. So Krishna enhances the relationship of his devotee with him through whatever situations Krishna puts his devotee. So externally situations may not be right to the perception of the world, but it is right if the Vaishnava is seeing it as Krishna is arranging it, thus it is for my purification. And I deserve so much more. So the action is not judged by the results. So there are many verses which can, many principles which can come to this conclusion that action cannot be judged by the results. Whereas this statement of Falena Parichita is very contextually spoken by Srila Prabhupada, and we have to remain sticking to that context. Actually, this is the thing in Krishna consciousness. Philosophy is such, you can take something from somewhere and prove a point which is completely contrary to the very philosophy of Krishna consciousness, through the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. Therefore, a devotee has to have a synthetic view of the philosophy. And therefore, we approach realized souls who have an... Therefore, in the Bhagavatam Canto 1, the sages approached Sutta Goswami, and this was one of the reasons they said that you have a synthetic view. They didn't use this term. But because you have so... you have heard it from your spiritual master, then you have been kindly blessed by them, you can give us a holistic presentation of the philosophy. So this is one of the understandings of a realized soul, that he has an overall conception of the philosophy, so he can understand the apparent contradictions when the philosophy, and philosophy does have contradiction. We can take two statements which are completely contrary, mentioned by Srila Prabhupada in his purports, but there are no actually contradictions, because when we have a synthetic view, we can give a proper understanding. So here, when it comes to judging our activities, whether I did right or wrong, we should not judge by the results. The results in most of the situations may not be right. Whether they are right or not, it's our own attitude with which we performed should be used to judge, if at all. We want to evaluate our heart, whether what I did was right or not. I mean, I'm just throwing some light. I'm sure you also have some realizations, and I'm sure here many other Vaishnavas will have some more light to throw on this topic. But it's very late now. I'm sorry, Mataji, it's 15 minutes past 9. I'm very badly known for always extending the classes and troubling devotees for disturbing their prasadam schedule. Maybe personally you can ask. Thank you so very much for giving such kind attention and hearing to today's discussion. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Bhaktavinda ki, Itai Gaur Premanandi.